Good morning, sir. Is this Mr. McFarland?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, could you just hang up the phone real quick? We have to make a phone call, and we're going to call you right back, okay?
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure that we've got to call Sears and ask all that stuff.
Gotcha. Just wants to listen.
Just says she can see.
Thank you for calling Sears at the East Mesa Shopping Center in Mesa. Please tell me which department you'd like, or say department list, store hours, or store location.
Watch appliances.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Watch appliances.
We apologize, but we are unable to connect you with your desired department at this time. Please try again later.
Who has her?
I have it right now.
Thank you for calling Sears at the East Mesa Shopping Center in Mesa.
Mr. Neals.
Please tell me which department you'd like, or say department list, store hours, or store location.
Large appliances.
That would be large appliances, is that right?
Yes.
Thanks. And which can we help you with?
Sales department.
Sorry, which would you like? Delivery, parts and repair, product info, or store?
Sales department.
I still didn't get that. We provide many services for appliances. Which can we help you with? Please say delivery or press 1, parts and repair or press 2, product info or press 3, store or press 4.
Thank you for calling Sears. Your call may be monitored or recorded. You can talk to me like a person. So tell me, in detail, how can I help you?
May I have large appliances? The sales department.
I can get you to someone to help you place an order. Were you interested in purchasing?
See if I can repeat herself. She doesn't need cell phone service at all. That's why she wanted us to call her.
May I have a sales department?
Please give me a moment. I'm sorry, but I picked up some background noise. Please tell me what you're looking to purchase.
Nothing. I want to speak with one of your salespeople.
One moment, please. Please hold while I transfer your call to the next available representative. Your call may be monitored or recorded to ensure quality service.
Thank you for calling Sears. My name is Marco. How can I help?
Yes. I'm trying to reach in the large appliances department a salesperson by the name of Deb Tritell. That's T-I-R-T-I-L-L-I.
Okay, so you're trying to reach a sales representative. Is that a sales representative from the local Sears store?
Yes, the one in Mesa.
Okay, can I have your VIN code on your location for me to check on it?
Just tell her that the Arizona Department I'm returning her call.
Can you tell me what specific city or is that located?
The large department appliances at your store in Mesa, and I'm returning her call at this time.
Oh, well, sure. Well, I would like to use switch online customer service from the online orders of both Sears.com and Kmart.com. So, if you're trying to reach the local store, then I'm going to be connecting with the exact department, okay?
Okay.
Well,
you have something else, sir. You have something else. You have
all the numbers. This is all she's told me. I tried to call her cell phone number, but it's not, Andrew, she just said that we had to.
I'm sorry, what city is that located again?
This is your sales store in Mesa, large appliances, sales department. The salesperson's name
is... Oh, Mesa. Okay, Mesa.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got it here, sir.
Thank you.
All right, so put your phone on the line. I'm going to be connecting you to one of our, I think we can get back to Ted's house, okay?
I don't want to keep him on the phone because I don't know if he knows.
That was a good decision we made. That was a great decision we made. To my left, your right, the Honorable Mr. Rudy Kiwanis, The other side of me, the Honorable Mr. Dale Rittenhouse. On the other side of Mr. Rittenhouse is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as the lead your panel chair at this time. We also have in the room with us today, and that is Mr. Turner, who you can see now. Mr. McClellan and Mr. Turner, both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth will help you God and will restore time.
I sir.
I do.
Thank you. Sir, I'm going to read the four allegations on your warrant, but before I read them, let me give you the options that you will have. You can say that each one of them is true, false, or that you wish to plead the fifth. The reason we give you the option to plead the fifth, because at this time we do not know whether this has been resolved in the court system or not, because we do show that there is a booking number and a DR number, but we don't know the results at this time. Therefore, and this hearing is being recorded. Therefore, once again, as I read each of them, you can answer true, false, or you can plead the fifth. Do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the first one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5. As demonstrated by your breaking a vehicle window out and taking a garage door opener on or about June 2nd, 2018. True, false, or do you plead the fifth, sir?
I plead false.
False, okay. The next one reads, and we'll come back to that one in a few moments and you can explain it. The next one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5. Is demonstrated by your act of verbally harassing another person by phone on or about June 2nd, 2018. True, false, or do you plead the fifth, sir?
True.
Thank you, sir. The next one reads that you are in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5 is demonstrated by your act of stalking another person on or about June 2nd, 2018. True, false, or the fifth?
False.
False. Okay, sir. We will return to that one. And finally, that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about June 2nd, 2018, in 880 West Mesquite Avenue in Apache Junction, Arizona. Is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth, sir?
Could you repeat what you just said about what it was?
That as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about June 2nd, 2018. In 880 West Mesquite Avenue in Apache Junction, Arizona.
Yeah, that's my home.
Is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth?
I believe I plead false on that as well.
You plead false on that as well. Okay, you have pleaded false on allegations 1, 3, and 4. Okay, so we're going to get some testimony on each of those that will be provided to us by the Department of Corrections, and that will be Mr. Turner who will be providing that information. So please hang on, and as we read each of them, we're going to ask you why they're false, sir. Mr. Turner.
Okay, this is very lengthy, and I believe that they are the same for each charge.
If they are the same, then just read one, sir, and we will go from that, sir.
Allegation number 1. On 6-6-2018, Bill Avery was notified that the defendant was arrested on 6-3-2018. On Saturday, 6-2-2018, Apache Junction Officer Berg, number 356, was dispatched to 880 West Mesquite Avenue, Apache Junction, Arizona, 85120, in reference to threats being made against a Deborah A. Turk-Trill. When Officer Bergman arrived at 880 West Mesquite Avenue, Apache Junction, Arizona, 85120, Deborah advised that her estranged husband, identified as the offender, had been calling her nonstop and leaving threatening voicemails. Deborah also advised Officer Bergman that when she was at work at Sears in Mesa, Arizona, on 6-2-2018, at approximately 18:30 hours, she discovered that her vehicle had been broken into. She observed that her driver's window was completely shattered. She advised that the only thing taken from the vehicle was her garage door opener to her residence at 880 West Mesquite Avenue, Apache Junction, Arizona, 85120. Deborah advised that she contacted Mesa Police Department to file a report for vehicle burglary. She stated that she was contacted by her alarm company and they advised her that the alarm had gone off at her residence. Officer Bergman confirmed with dispatch regarding the alarm, and they confirmed that ADT had contacted the police department on her alarm's garage door on 6-2-2018 at $1,300. Officer Bergman noted that Deborah appeared to be very upset and emotional, and her hands were shaking. Deborah stated that after she arrived home from work on 6-2-2018, she continued to receive voicemails from the offender. While talking to Deborah, Officer Bergman heard her phone ring, and she advised him that it was the offender calling. Officer Bergman took note of the number the call was coming from, 442-999-1209. Deborah advised that she is in the process of divorcing the offender, and she filed for an order of protection. Deborah stated that she didn't think the order of protection had been served to the offender yet. Deborah provided a copy of the order of protection to Officer Bergman. Deborah advised that she had saved all the voicemails from the offender. Deborah played a few of the voicemails for Officer Bergman. While listening to the voicemails, Officer Bergman noticed a male's voice. Deborah stated that she recognized as the offender, and he introduced himself as Don and began threatening the well-being of Deborah. Some of the threats stated that the offender would find her at her place of work, Sears, and buck her up. The offender also made threats against Deborah's two dogs and threatened to burn the house down. While listening to the voicemails, another call came in from the same number. Officer Bergman asked Deborah if he could answer the phone, and she stated that he could. Officer Bergman answered the phone and identified himself as a peace officer for Apache Junction. The offender replied, "What the fuck is your problem?" and ended the call. Officer Bergman asked Deborah if she wished to pursue charges for threatening and harassment, and Deborah advised that she did. Officer Bergman had to leave because of a priority traffic, and he advised Deborah he would return after clearing the traffic. Dispatch advised Officer Bergman that Deborah had called again and stated the offender had continued calling her and now was threatening her life. Officer Bergman arrived back at Deborah's residence after clearing the traffic and noticed that Deborah seemed even more upset and was on the verge of tears. She stated that she was in fear for her life and didn't know what to do. Deborah stated that she was considering abandoning the house to stay with a friend because she did not feel safe in her residence anymore. Officer Bergman asked Deborah if he could listen to the new voicemails. Deborah played the new voicemails for Officer Bergman and noted the offender's voice again. The offender sounded more agitated than before, and Officer Bergman noted a new weight to the offender's threats. The offender stated that he didn't care if she contacted the police, he would find her and fuck her up. On message 18, the offender stated, yeah, just in case you didn't realize, inaudible, this is the kicker, because in this case, you are going to be right. Because I'm going to have things my way. You're going to get fucked up, dead, or in the hospital, fucked up for life. Your house is going to be no good because I'm going to burn that motherfucker up. And I hope you're with it. So kiss my ass. Deborah advised Officer Bergman that she had seen the offender driving around her residence earlier in the day, and in the past stated that the offender wasn't supposed to be at her residence, and that he had never lived at her residence. She described the offender's vehicle as a white Chevrolet four-door sedan. Officer Bergman provided dispatch with the vehicle description, and they were able to locate the vehicle, which was registered to the offender. After speaking to Deborah the second time, Officer Bergman notified Sergeant Goodwin of the incident and briefed him on what happened. Sergeant Goodwin gave his approval to ping the cell phone being used by the offender in an attempt to locate him. After pinging the offender's cell phone, his location came back as a parking lot at a hotel in Tempe, Arizona, on 6-3-2018 at 1:49 hours. Officer Bergman asked dispatch to ping the offender's cell phone again to verify the location so Tempe Police Department could contact the vehicle. Officer Bergman requested that dispatch contact Tempe Police Department and request four officers to attempt to locate the vehicle and the offender. Tempe police officers contacted Sergeant Goodman and advised that they had eyes on the vehicle and they believed the offender was sleeping in it. Tempe Tactical Response Unit contacted the offender and was able to detain him without incident. Officer Bergman advised dispatch that he was en route to meet with the Tempe PD to take over the custody of the offender. On 6-3-2018 at 3:33 hours, Officer Bergman arrived at 1780 West Ranch Road in Tempe, Arizona, and made contact with Officer Schmidt, number 21687, with the Tempe Tactical Response Unit. Once on scene, Officer Bergman retrieved a cell phone that was connected to the charger of the offender's vehicle. Officer Bergman asked dispatch to call the number that the offender called Deborah from earlier, 442-999-1209, to verify that it was the same phone. Officer Bergman observed a number he recognized as the Apache Junction Police Department phone number displayed on the screen of the phone found with the offender. On 6-3-2018 at 0342 hours, Officer Bergman placed handcuffs on the offender and advised him that he was under arrest for threatening and intimidation and harassment. The offender was moved to the back of Officer Bergman's fully marked Apache Junction Police Patrol vehicle and read him his rights for Miranda. The offender advised that he understood and was willing to answer Officer Bergman's questions. Officer Bergman asked the offender if he knew why he was being arrested, and he stated that he did. The offender stated that Deborah was his wife, and he would speak to her however he wanted to. The offender advised that he was angry about the divorce and stated that Deborah had been a prostitute, and now that she had arrived together, she was lying to get him into trouble. Officer Bergman asked the offender about the voicemails he left for Deborah, and he stated that he always speaks to her that way. Officer Bergman advised the offender that Deborah was very fearful and that it did not appear that she was used to that kind of abuse. The offender stated that if he was going to do something, he would have already done it. Officer Bergman asked the offender if he meant that he would have done something when he broke into Deborah's house earlier. The offender stated yes. Officer Bergman asked the offender how he got into Deborah's house. The offender stated that he had broken the window of Deborah's vehicle when she was at work and took the garage door opener. He stated that he stole Deborah's garage door opener and went into her house so that she would know that he was able to do what he was saying. At that time, the offender was transported to the 4th Avenue Jail in Phoenix for booking. Officer Bergman served the offender the order of protection. Deborah filed against him. The offender stated that he understood the order of protection, but that he didn't care about the paperwork. He went on to say that a piece of paper is not going to keep him from doing what he wants to do. The offender was booked and charged with burglary, second degree felony.
Okay. Thank you so very much, sir. Sir, you have, Mr. McCollum, you heard the testimony from the Department of Correction that relates to allegations 1, 3, and 4. Now, what are they false, sir? Can you tell?
Well, the reason... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. I interrupted you, sir.
The reason that I did not break into her car is because I didn't have to. In the first place, the reason I was so mad and I did cuss her out, or use the word cuss, I guess, is we were married almost 40 years. I did 8.5 years in prison. I come out and I start dealing with my daughter because she would answer the phone or answer about my lawyers as to, you know, verify my place of release when I get out. Well, my daughter has a mental problem. I didn't want to go there, but I did. And it just was one day she's fine, the next day she wasn't. So I had my problems there. So I went to see my parole officer a couple of times. And during this time, one of these times, Deborah came over and left a letter for me with my daughter, for me. So I opened it up, read it, and it's a very nasty letter. She pretends to be this innocent person, which she is not. I know, I lived with her for over 40 years.
Right now, I just need to know why allegations 1, 3, and 4 are false, and if we go into phase 2, or when we go into phase 2, you will have an opportunity to explain all of this as much as you want to. But right now, we just need to know why these allegations are false, since you said that they are false at this time, sir. But you will have an opportunity to explain everything once we go into phase 2, sir.
Well, Okay, so which do you want to know first?
Well, number one is false. Apache broke into the vehicle and taken the watch.
No, they did not break into the vehicle. They took me apart and they already had released me on that.
Okay, well, see, we don't know that yet, so we'll know that later. Okay. But right now, see, we go step by step, okay? So what about allegation number three? I believe you also said that it was false because it demonstrated the act of stalking another person's on about June 7, 2018. You said that was false, sir. Why is that one false?
Well, how can you stalk your own wife? I'm really still married to her. I don't have no protection. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong.
Okay, sir. And the final one, number four, is demonstrated by your engagement and threatening behavior on about June 2nd, 2018 at 880 West Mesquite Avenue in Apache Junction. Why is that false, sir? By your engagement in threatening behavior.
Well, I don't know what they mean by threatening behavior. Yes, we had a discussion at her house, or our house, because it's legally mine too, even though we're married, I thought this was a half and half state, what she has is supposed to be half of mine. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And I was not basically threatening her. I did threaten her. You know, I said, look, this is my house just as well as this. I just might as well burn down my own house, is what I said. I said, but I wouldn't do that because now this is, I'm tearing up my part of my half of the marriage. And the way she went about the way she went about getting this divorce or applying for it, I didn't know nothing about it until I got out.
Okay, sir. I think at this time, unless some board members have some questions, then I think that at this time I'm going to move into phase two of the hearing. I'm going to make a motion. Any questions by the board members? So therefore now I'm going to move that based upon Mr. McFarland's admission as it relates to allegation number two, and as it relates to allegations number one, three, and four, that will be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W1748, as well as testimony provided by the Department of Corrections through Mr. Turner. And my motion is to move to find that Mr. McFarland violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
Second.
Great. Motion by myself, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Corrales and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. So at this time, sir, we're going to prepare to go into phase two of your hearing. Phase two is a very important part of the hearing because at the end of phase two, the board is going to make a decision whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. Now, we're going to ask that you remain quiet. We begin phase two by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. Once we get that information, then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to you, and you can tell the board whatever you need to tell the board at that time, sir. So if you will remain quiet, we're going to get some background information at this time, sir. Mr. Turner, would you provide us with some background information, sir?
Mr. McFarland was released from ABC custody on 4-20-2018 and arrested on 6-3-2018 by Tempe PD on felony charge of threat and intimidation and misdemeanor charge of harassment. Returned back to ABC custody on 6-18-2018 with a CSED of 9-20-2019, zero absconded. Current conviction, 2008. Commitment A, count 1, theft of a credit card obtained, fraud, 5 years. 2009, commitment A, count 3, forgery, 10 years. 2009, commitment A, count 4, taking the identity of another, 10 years. 2009, commitment B, count 1, theft, 10 years. No prior convictions. This is his first term in ABC with a CUIR score of 3-1, mental health score of 1. He does not have a substance abuse score. No STG information is noted, and there's no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrests. 1961, unlawful use of means of transportation, California felony conviction, probation. 1963, unlawful use of means of transportation, California, felony conviction, probation. 1966, burglary, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1966, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1971, forgery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1982, obtained money with bogus check, California, county jail. 1983, forgery, California, felony conviction, probation. 1993, burglary, first degree, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1993, unlawful use of means of transportation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1997, forgery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1998, perjury by contradiction, California, federal conviction, felony conviction, state prison. 2005, theft, felony, unknown, Florida, unknown. 2009, theft, Minnesota, federal prison. 6/21/2018, misdemeanor felony or misdemeanor in Florida pending charges. Has a GV score of G1V1. Status of the current charges here is kind of confusing. He was arrested by 10 PPD in Maricopa for charges in Apache Junction. Neither county attorney has anything on file at this point except that he had initial appearance on 6/3/2018 in Apache Junction Justice Court, so I was not showing anything on record. Other comments, he actually currently has a pending felony hold by the U.S. Marshals and one for Pasco County Sheriff's Office in Florida.
Okay. Let me just make sure I understand that. Arizona, nothing has been filed as of this moment in either of the counties.
I think there's some kind of confusion going on between the two agencies.
Okay. And in Florida, it has a couple of months that's pending. Am I correct, sir?
Correct.
Okay.
There's also a... It hasn't been confirmed yet, but there is a felony hold by the U.S. Marshals.
Okay, felony hold by the U.S. Marshals. Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. Okay, now we're back to you, Mr. McCall. Based on information that we have when you were released, you were to reside with your sponsor, who would have been your daughter, and that would have been 8822 North 1st Street, Apartment D in Phoenix, Arizona. How long did you reside there, sir? Or did you reside
there? Yeah, approximately 2 weeks.
Okay. And what happened after the 2 weeks, sir? What happened then? Where did you go then, sir?
What happened was, see, like I told you, my daughter has a mental issue. And she just progressively worse than I anticipated worse when I last left. Anyway, she was fine one day in the middle of the night. She come out and say, "Who are you? What are you doing in my apartment?" I just get up and leave and go ride there on the bus all night till it stopped, then ride it back and forth and wait till I come to my parole officer, the probation officer. I mean, that's why I stopped. I even told my probation officer with the fence what the problem was. The same parole person, I never did meet my parole officer. I went down there 3 or 4 times to meet her, and I've never seen her. The officer the day always told me that she's the only one that can make that decision. So I told them the last time I was there, I wasn't coming back. And that's what happened.
And where did you...
I tried the right way.
But where did you go after you left your daughter's apartment, sir? Where did you reside then, sir? I mean, I know you said where I was supposed to.
Basically, I got in the car, and I basically lived in my car.
Okay, so you lived in your car. At that time, just for information, for clarification, rather, did you reside in the car in Phoenix or in Apache Junction, sir?
In Phoenix, that's where I was at. I went to Apache Junction, I think, twice to try to talk to my wife, but every time I tried to talk to her, she said, "Hey, get out of here. You're on one page away." Well, that's funny because I spent 8.5 years in prison, but she always came to visit, see me and everything. So I haven't learned that I'd like to meet you at some time at this point, but she wrote to me about that my daughter's.
Okay, after a few more questions, we will permit you to read the letter, sir, and make any final comments. Just a few more questions, sir. Now, I did a few more comments. Now, did you have any employment at all while you were out, sir?
No, I was retired. I'm 72 years old.
Yes, sir. So you were retired, so you were receiving Social Security and so forth. Am I correct, sir?
U.S. Senate retirement check for 18 years out of the San Diego Tribune.
Okay, sir. And I also take note that your color task was peach, and what we show is that you did submit two
Yes, that's correct. I've never used drugs in my entire life or alcohol.
Okay, sir. Now, you stated, sir, I believe you stated, so please correct me if I'm wrong, that this whole situation has been resolved, and this is not a court of law. We cannot resolve anything.
Yes.
We're just trying to make a decision whether to continue on community supervision or to revoke the community supervision. But since you said, but you said that this, that everything is already been resolved now, according to what you stated a few minutes ago, sir?
Yes, well, my brother called the court, and I didn't appear in front of the court. My brother called and wanted to know why, he was told by the court clerk that I was released. The only reason I was still in jail was because of my probation violations.
Okay, sir.
And I have a paper here that states that.
Now, did your brother indicate that you had a couple of warrants or homes down in the state of Florida, sir, for whatever took place down there some time ago?
Yeah, that's not extradition warrants, and I tried to clear it up, but I didn't have enough time out there because I was confronted with my daughter's problem and then this divorce thing with my wife. So I was kind of, they just told me that to come down here and pay the fine and whatever it would be, just this, or send them the money.
Okay.
It's a spell of anything.
Now, while
you see it says non-extradition on it.
Okay. Now, while a long discussion, sir, from your perspective, are you divorced at this time or are you still married at this time, sir?
I'm still married as far as I know.
Okay, sir. Okay, I'm going to see if Lord Borman might have any questions for you at this time, sir. I don't see any questions from other board members at this time. Therefore, we're coming towards the end of the hearings. Therefore, you can read whatever you have, and you can make a final statement without repeating yourself. You can do both at this time, because this is your hearing. So read whatever you have to read, and tell the board whatever you want, else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir.
Okay, I will. This is a letter which I received from my wife and that my daughter's on. She says, Mr. McFarland, who in the hell, you don't mind me using the words that she does, do you?
Read whatever's in the letter, sir.
Okay, who in the hell do you think you are? What kind of a game are you trying to play now? Suzanne is not yours or your possession, and I am not either. You think because you have a piece of paper saying that you are married to me, that you can do and say whatever the hell you want? Please, the only fucking child I see is you. And whatever size 5-year-old who has not grown up. You are nothing and I mean nothing. To me and to Suzanne, I believe you have a wife named Phyllis. Why don't you, excuse me, gotta turn the page. Why don't you talk to her and while you are at it, talk to your mother, Clara. She is your mother. My mother passed away years ago. I believe she was high when she wrote this letter. You lie so much to yourself that you cannot even get your story straight. You think that you are so fucking smart that you have fooled everyone around you. The fact is, no. You fooled everybody but yourself. You fooled yourself. You fooled. Suzanne has never thought of you as a father and will probably ever will. I think you are a piece of shit and I would like to see you rot in hell. And if you recall, in the statement she said I was going to fuck up those dogs at home, in this letter she tells me, she says, so here are some of the answers to your questions. Little bit is the mom of two puppies. Little bit has been gone for months, along with the rest of the dogs. You are not allowed to see me or come near me. I will have a restraining order placed. This restraining order she speaks of, I've never received it. I never knew nothing about it. And she stated that to the police that she said she didn't think that I was serving because that there was no restraining order at that time. They had that all been up in between my getting arrested and being in jail. That's when the officer told me that I had it.
Now, sir, because of time management, I'm going to ask you to please move forward and take maybe about three more minutes just to sum up what your situation is, sir.
It says, the bottom line is, she says, you are one of the worst people I've ever seen, and I wish I'd never had marriage, and so go keep fucking off with me. Don't be fucking with me no more. That's the end of the letter, basically. But you see, she lied a lot. She's not the innocent person she's portraying to be. She was a prostitute. I picked her up out of the streets in Los Angeles, Englewood, and we had basically a big green light bulb all the way through. Yeah, I did trust her because of the way she knew about everything, and then this letter is what set me off. I was not expecting that. And like I said, I tried to get this thing all cleared up to my career officer. I've never met the person. It's a she, I know her name is Miss Avery, and that's it. And I went down there three or four times to try to clarify this and get this thing straightened out or her. She did find someone to help me straighten it out. But she has never answered my calls. She never was in my office. So I told her also, I'll be honest, I told her myself I wasn't coming back, and that's what I did. And meanwhile, I got this letter, and that's what set me off.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir, for your testimony at this time. So at this time, we're going to ask that you remain quiet, as the board is now going into discussion. Following this discussion, the board will make its determination, its decision, whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on community supervision. This will be the first time that this board will have had an opportunity to discuss your case, because we do operate under the open meeting law and everything we do. We do it in public, and you can hear us, so please don't hang up. Listen, but remain quiet, and we'll be back with you very shortly with the decision of this board. The board is now in discussion. This is a very interesting, unfortunate situation that we are dealing with. Of course, as a board member, I was not there when this occurred. There's some information that's been presented to the board that I'm not sure why, what happened. However, I think that the question that we, that as a board member, that we must answer is, one, is whether these allegations are true or false, which we've already made the determination based upon the vote of the board in phase one. Secondly, whether he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision. There are certain things that one must do in their own supervision. One is, at all times, the parole officer must know where he is. And based on what I can understand, when he was living in that vehicle, the board of the parole officer did not know where he was residing, because he was just moving around in that vehicle. I am not, as a board member at this time, going to take any position on the charges, whether they have been cleared up or not, because that's beyond us. But in terms, did he violate the terms and conditions of his supervision? From my perspective, he did. But I'm only one board member. Therefore, I'm prepared now to listen to other board members. Okay. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion at this point, and my motion is to find that Mr. Donnell McFarland, ABC number 263015, violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that is based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W1746. Well, as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections through Mr. Turner, as well as testimony presented to this board today. Therefore, Robin, and as much as he did for a period of time, not have a place of residence that he had been approved by the Department of Corrections, the parole officer. Therefore, with that being said, I'm going to move to find that he did violate the terms and conditions of supervision, and I'm going to revoke his community supervision based upon the same. That is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by C.T. Wright. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Corrales, and agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. So local medical supervision has been revoked. However, as you probably know better than I do, you are scheduled to be released on September 20, 2019. We wish you the best, sir, and we hope that you can get all of these issues straightened out. And this will end your hearing. We're going to ask that you would put the CO3 back on the phone, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I have one question?
Yes, sir. We may not be able to answer it, but yes, sir.
Yeah. Will that be going to be out your home on September 20th?
2019, yes, yes, sir. I don't know, because you know, you have these other things that we don't know about. I know you said they've been resolved, but we don't know whether they've been resolved or not, as well as whatever happened down in Florida. But as it relates to this, yes, sir, this will be the end of this, yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.